The subject of this perek is the prohibition of slaughtering oisoi vesbenoi, a mother animal and its child on the same day, regardless of which order it is done in. And the previous Mishnah taught that during four different periods of time of the year, there are four specific days on which a seller of animals is obligated to inform the ones who are buying the animals if he sold the mother or child of that animal on the same day. The reason being that on these four times of the year, when it's just before a particular Yom Tov, a particular festival, it's relatively obvious that one who is buying an animal that day is doing so in order to slaughter it for the sake of the festive meal which he's going to eat. This Mishnah goes slightly sidetracked, and based on what was said in the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah now tells us that Bar Boa Prokim Elu, on these 4 days of the year, Mashchiten as a Tabach Baal Korchoi, we would force the butcher to slaughter his animal even against his will. And the Mishnah explains, Afilu Shosho Elef Dinorim, even if he has an ox which is worth 1,000 dinar, Ve'ina Lekech Elo Dinar, and he has one buyer who only bought 1 dinar worth of the meat of that animal, and he has already paid for that amount, we force the butcher to slaughter his animal in order to give this one buyer the meat that he has paid for, even though the butcher will have a tremendous loss by needing to slaughter the entire animal, and he won't be able to get rid of all of the meat and sell all of it. And the explanation of this law is as follows. Mid-Oraisa, on a Torah level, as soon as somebody pays for something, in general, it would belong to him. The halachic transfer of ownership from the seller to the buyer takes place when the buyer pays money for the item. However, midrabbonon, for the benefit of the buyers, for the benefit of the customers, they were concerned for a situation where somebody paid money for a particular item, but he didn't yet take that item home, and it was still situated in the seller's house, in the seller's domain. And if there is a danger of that being destroyed, for example, let's say a fire starts in that area, the seller will have no interest in protecting that produce, or protecting those items which are there, which he sold, since they already don't belong to him. He received his money, the items already belong to the other person, and it will be considered that the buyer's possessions were burnt and destroyed. And in order to avoid this situation, and to make sure that the seller would take care that the items of the buyer don't get destroyed, the Chachomim instituted that money would no longer be a valid way of acquiring an item until one performs an actual act on the item itself by lifting it up or bringing it into his domain, whatever it may be. And this way, the seller would need to take responsibility, and he would certainly protect the item from being destroyed, since it still belongs to him. And until the seller gives it over to the buyer to perform an act of acquisition with it, he would be fully responsible for something which happens to it, and if it does get destroyed, then he would have to give the money back or replace the item with a different item to give to the buyer. Now, this whole enactment of the Chachomim was for the benefit of the customers. Now, during these 4 periods of the year, it is in the interest of the customers that they be guaranteed the meat which they were trying to buy. And because of that, the Chachomim said that in this situation, we're going to leave the original Torah law in its place, and as soon as the customers pay for the meat, we will consider the acquisition as having taken place. And if that's the case, then the butcher will be forced to slaughter the animal, since the buyer has the right to a certain amount of that meat. Now, it could end up being that the buyer will actually lose out, because the fichach, therefore, in mace, if the ox dies before the butcher actually slaughters it, and it's therefore forbidden to eat the meat of this animal, mace alokeach, it's considered that it died whilst being in the possession of the buyer, and wouldn't be compensated for that. So it's true that he could end up losing out, but still, it is certainly in the interest of the customers that the sale take place already from when he pays money for it, since this is an unlikely occurrence that the animal will just die, and therefore the Chachomim left the original Torah law that the paying of the money already affects the acquisition. Aval b'shayrus hashana, however, during the rest of the year, ein kein, this is not the case, rather the Chachomim instituted that money will not be a valid way of acquiring something, and therefore as long as the buyer has not performed an official act of acquisition, lefichach, therefore, in meis ha-mecher, it would be considered that it died in the possession of the seller since the sale has not yet taken place. Mishnah Hey, the final Mishnah of this perek tells us that Yom Echad, the one day which the Torah talks about, Be'osav Es Benoi, regarding the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child on the same day, on one day, Hayom Holich Achar Laila, the daytime comes after the nighttime. Just like in the vast majority of areas of halacha, of Torah law, the day is considered to begin from the evening beforehand when it gets dark. And therefore, if somebody slaughtered an animal during the nighttime, it will be forbidden to slaughter its child the next day until the night, until it gets dark. On the other hand, if you slaughtered an animal in the morning, one would be able to slaughter its child that night. Es Zoydor Shimon ben Zoyma. Shimon ben Zoyma explained how this is learnt from Pesukim. Ne'emar b'maaseh bereishis, the Pasuk says, when talking about the creation of the world, Yom Echad, it has this term, one day. At the end of the account of the first day of creation, the Pasuk says, Vayhi erev, vayhi voker Yom Echad. It was evening, and then it was morning, the first day. Ve'ne'emar b'oseh es b'noi Yom Echad, and the Torah also says this term of one day, when talking about the prohibition of slaughtering an animal with its child on the same day. And that allows us to compare that which is said in one of the Pesukim to that which is said in the other Pesuk. So, Mayim Echad Omer B'Maaseh Bereishis, Hayom Lechachar HaLaila. Just like the term one day, which is stated in the account of the creation of the world. The Torah makes a point of saying that the day comes after the night time. It says it was evening and then it was morning. Afyom Echad, so too the term of one day, Ha'omer B'Issu Es B'Noi, which is stated in the part of the Torah talking about the prohibition of slaughtering an animal with its child on the same day, Hayom Halechachar Laila. There too, the day follows the night. Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph. The subject of this perek, the sixth perek of the Masechta, is the requirement of Kisui Hadam. When one slaughters an animal, we're going to see not every type of animal, but there are certain types of animals that upon being slaughtered, there is an obligation from the Torah to cover the blood which drops from the animal onto the ground, to cover it with earth. And the Mishnah introduces this perek, this chapter, by telling us that Kisui Adam Noeg Bo'aretz V'chutz La'aretz, the requirement of covering the blood applies both to animals which are slaughtered in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, just like any mitzvah which is not connected to the ground itself or to that which grows on the ground. In addition, it applies both when the Beis HaMikdash is around and when it is not around. Bachulin, it applies to animals which are not holy and are being slaughtered for one's own sake. Avaloi b'mikdashin. However, it does not apply to karbonis, and the truth is, we're about to see that v'noi b'chayol v'oif. This whole requirement of kisui hadam, of covering the blood, only applies to when one slaughters a chaya, which is a more wild animal, v'oif, or a bird. But a domestic animal like a sheep or a goat or a cow, when one slaughters that, there is no obligation to cover the blood. Now, the vast, vast majority of karbonos come from a behemoth, a sheep or a goat or a cow. But a behemoth anyway doesn't have an obligation of covering the blood. So when the Mishnah tells us that the obligation of kisui hadam does not apply to karbonos, it's really just telling us that regarding birds, which are brought as karbonos on certain occasions, there is no requirement to cover the blood after that bird is slaughtered for the sake of it being a korban. The exemption of covering the blood when slaughtering a behemoth, a domestic animal like a sheep, is learnt from when the Torah says that one cannot eat the blood of an animal, al ha'aretz tishbechenu kamoyim, pour it onto the ground like water. The Torah is comparing blood to water, and we learn from there that just like water but obviously not require any covering, so too the blood of a behemoth, which the Torah is talking about over there, does not need covering. The obligation applies both to an animal which is literally prepared, it's readily available for him because he owns the animal, and he keeps the animal in his house, in his own property. And it equally applies to an animal which is not available, and rather he goes to hunt it when he wishes to eat the animal. I might have thought that the example which the Torah talks about when discussing the requirement of covering the blood is when one hunts an animal. So I might have learnt from there that the Torah only requires me to cover the blood in a case where I hunt it. But if I have this animal anyway readily available for me in my own property, then perhaps I don't need to cover the blood. So the Mishnah says, no, that is not the meaning of the Pasuk, and the requirement of Kisui Hadam to cover the blood would apply equally to an animal which is already in his property. V'nohig ba'koi, and the requirement applies to a koi, which is a type of animal which comes as a result of a crossbreed of a goat with a deer, and the status of this animal, the koi, is under doubt. It is not defined whether it's considered to be a chaya, a more wild animal, or a behemoth, a more domestic animal. It's a crossbreed of both. And as a result, we need to be stringent and treat it as both a behemoth and a chaya for different laws. So the Mishnah says that out of doubt, one is obligated to cover the blood of a koi when he slaughters it, meishu sofik, because it is a doubt. It is possibly considered a wild animal, and therefore it would require a covering of the blood. However, because it is only an obligation out of doubt, the ein shochet dinosa b'yomtov, it is forbidden to slaughter a koi on yomtov, because in general on yomtov it's forbidden to use earth and to move earth about. However, in certain situations it is permitted for the sake of the mitzvah of kisui hadam. It is of course permitted to slaughter an animal on yomtov because it's for the sake of food preparation. Any form of work which is generally forbidden on Shabbos, but it's for the sake of food preparation, on yomtov is permitted. So one is able to slaughter an animal on Yom Tov, but he would need to cover it with earth, and there is a requirement to designate and set aside that earth before Yom Tov, so that it won't be considered muktzah, it won't be considered something which cannot be carried or moved on Shabbos. However, in general, earth is not something that one can move on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It's permitted for the sake of this mitzvah, this obligation of covering the blood. But it's not permitted in a case where it's not a mitzvah. So since the whole mitzvah of covering the blood of this koi is only out of doubt, on Yom Tov one would not be able to cover the blood, ideally, and therefore you shouldn't slaughter it on Yom Tov. V'im shechotoy, and if one did go ahead and he slaughtered it nevertheless on Yom Tov, the Mishnah says, ein mechasnes domoy, one should not cover its blood. And this is even if he did set aside earth before Yom Tov. So it should really be permitted. Midrabbonon, we say that it is better that you don't cover the blood, and the reason for this is because if you go ahead and cover the blood, somebody who sees you doing this will assume that you are doing so because you have a definite obligation of covering the blood. They'll think, it's Yom Tov today, and ideally one is not supposed to slaughter a koi if it's a doubtful wild animal or domestic animal. But if I'm seeing this person that he did slaughter the animal, so that must mean that actually it's not a doubt. That must mean that it's permitted to slaughter this animal. It's permitted? Ah, so now this person's going to think that the koi is not actually under doubt. Rather, they'll think that a koi is now considered to be a definite wild animal. Because he's covering the blood, the mitzvah of covering the blood only applies to a wild animal. And if it was a doubtful animal, it's forbidden to slaughter it on Yom Tov. So if somebody sees that someone did slaughter it on Yom Tov, he doesn't assume that he violated a prohibition. He assumes that he was permitted to slaughter it. If he was permitted to slaughter it, that must mean that it's a definite chaya. It's a definite wild animal, such that the obligation of covering the blood is definite, and it's therefore permitted to slaughter it. This is all going through a person's mind, that if they see somebody covering the blood, they will assume that it is a definite chaya, a definite wild animal, and then they'll come to violate a different prohibition. It is prohibited to eat certain fats inside of an animal, and essentially the rule is that any of the fats which, when it comes to a korban, would be burnt on the Mizbeach, when it comes to a non-korban, it is forbidden to eat those fats. Now that only applies to animals which are a behemoth, domestic animals which can potentially be bought as a korban. Whereas for a wild animal, it is permitted to eat the fats. Now once somebody sees someone covering the blood of the koi and they come to the wrong conclusion that the koi is not under doubt, but rather it's considered to be a definite wild animal, they will come to think that it is permitted to eat the fats of the koi, because they'll think that it's a chaya, and in order to avoid somebody coming to that wrong conclusion, it is forbidden to cover the blood of the koi if it was slaughtered on Yom Tov. Mishnah Beis, a shochet, one who slaughters a wild animal or a bird, v'nimtza treifa, and it is found to be a treifa, an animal which has an internal wound which makes it forbidden to eat. V'ashochet l'avodah zarah, one who slaughters an animal for the sake of idolatry. So the actual slaughtering in these cases is totally valid, but it is forbidden to eat the meat. V'ashechid cholin b'fnei, one who slaughters a non-korban animal inside the Beit HaMikdash. Once again, in terms of the actual slaughtering, it's valid, but it's forbidden to eat the meat of such an animal. V'kodshim b'chutz, or if he slaughtered a korban outside of the Beit HaMikdash, chayav oifan iskolim, or a wild animal or bird which killed somebody and therefore needs to be stoned, it is forbidden to benefit from the meat of such an animal. In all of these cases, the slaughtering itself was valid. However, it didn't permit the meat to be eaten. So we have a very similar argument to that which we had in the previous perek of whether we consider this to be a shechita. Rabbi Meir says that he is liable, he is obligated to cover the blood, because a shechita she'ena re'uya, a slaughtering which does not permit the meat to be eaten because of a different reason, but the slaughtering itself was performed in a valid fashion, that does have the status of a real slaughtering, a real shechita, and therefore one would be obligated to cover the blood. V'chachom patron, however, the Chachom say that he is exempt from covering the blood because we do not consider this to be a slaughtering. Now, everybody agrees that if the slaughtering itself was not performed correctly, then it would be there would be not an obligation of kisui hadam. For example, Ashechit v'nisab lo b'yodai, one who slaughters the animal and it becomes an avela in his hand, there one of the invalidations of the slaughtering occurs, hanoicher, or one who kills the animal by stabbing it in his nostrils or at his throat, havam aker, one who tears and uproots the food pipe and windpipe, but not in the regular way that slaughtering is supposed to be performed with a knife. In all these cases, potum elachaseis, he would be exempt from the obligation of kisui adam, covering the blood, since that only applies to a valid slaughtering.